once again, I thank you for the opportunity that I had, that you invited me to be able to present a piece of God's word to you. I do appreciate all the hospitality. I appreciate all that you've done to make my wife and I stay with you very comfortable. We enjoyed our time here. We will be, after lunch, we're going to be rushing back because we got grandkids at our home. So they came while we were gone. So we're going to go see them. We have been talking about God's will. What is God's will for me? And God has given us guidelines for decisions, but as we have been pointing out, God does not make every decision for us. We're expected to choose whether to follow God's guidance or not. We're expected to make choices between two paths, that of morally correct or immorally wrong decisions. We're to make those choices. And I can compare my decisions against the Word of God and ensure that those decisions are righteous ones. But decisions where matters of right and wrong are not involved, it means that I might not always know which direction to take. We don't know everything. That's one of the big problems that we have. We have uncertainty because I don't know everything. We know what we want, but God says sometimes we can't find it because of our own faults. Take a look at Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59, we're going to start at verse 9. Therefore, justice is far from us, and righteousness does not overtake us. We hope for light, but behold darkness. For brightness, but we walk in gloom. We grope along the wall like blind men. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at midday as in the twilight. Among those who are vigorous, we are like dead men. All of us growl like bears and moan sadly like doves. We hope for justice, but there is none. For salvation, but it's far from me. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and we know our iniquities. Transgressing and denying the Lord and turning away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving in and uttering from the heart lying words, justice is turned back, and righteousness stands far away. For truth has stumbled in the street, and uprightness cannot enter. Yes, truth is lacking, and he who turns aside from evil makes himself a prey. We make bad decisions because at times we sin. And so we don't know what the right thing to do is because our sins are in our way. And even when we do things without sin, our best knowledge sometimes just looks like foolishness, God. Take a look at Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44 and in verse 25. Causing the omens of the boasters to fail, making fools out of diviners, causing wise men to draw back and turn their knowledge into foolishness. God works actively against people who think they know it all. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Just as an adult looks at a little child trying to make a decision about whether he wants strawberry or grape jelly on his sandwich, and is just at a loss as far as which one is the best one to make, we're looking at it saying, what difference does it make? You can have the other one next, you know, tomorrow. God looks at a lot of our decisions that way. God knows so much that we can't comprehend it. And we might sometimes think that we're getting a sign from God when it really isn't a sign. There's so many people that are looking for something to happen and say, oh, that's a sign from God indicating this is the right choice. But take a look at what happened in Acts chapter 28. We have some people who thought they saw a sign from the gods. In Acts chapter 28 and verse 4. And when the natives, actually let's start at verse 3. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened it onto his hand. And when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they began saying to one another, undoubtedly this man is a murderer. And though he has been saved from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live. However, he shook the creature off into the fire and suffered no harm. And they were expecting that he was about to swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they waited a long time and had seen nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their mind and began to say that he was a god. It had to be a reason. That viper was there, that's a sign. First they decided he was a murderer. It was a sign of a murderer. That didn't happen. Well, it's a sign that he's a god. Just because you see something as a sign doesn't mean it is a sign. Or necessarily a sign of what you're looking for either. And when we look back at something, we always talk about, hindsight's better than foresight. When you look back at something, we can't always be certain about God's purpose. Example of this is what Paul says to Philemon. In Philemon, verse 15, Paul's talking about the slave that came to him. And Paul says, for perhaps he was for this reason separated from you for a while, that you would have him back forever. No longer as slave, but more than that, a slave, a much beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and to the Lord. How is it that Onesimus ended up seeing Paul, who was in jail in Rome, after running away from Colossae, which is close to 1,000 miles away. And Paul's looking at it and saying, perhaps God had planned it this way. But even Paul's not certain that's exactly what happened. You look back at it and say, hey, there's way too many coincidences. Maybe God's hand was in that. But we're not always certain. We don't know the future. I don't know even know what's going to happen later today. I know I got plans for it, but I don't know. In Proverbs chapter 27, Proverbs 27 is in verse 1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. There are so many things that might just happen between now and this evening. And I definitely don't know what's going to happen after my life is over. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 22. I have seen that nothing is better than that a man should be happy in his activities. For this is his lot. For who will bring him to see what will occur after him? I can't tell you what's going to happen the next hour or two. I certainly can't tell you. That's worse than weather forecasting. I can't tell you what's going to happen after I die. I should enjoy life now. In fact, later in Ecclesiastes, it says, "See, foolish even to cry. in Ecclesiastes 10 and in verse 14. Yet the fool multiplies word. No man knows what will happen, and who can tell him what will come after him? There's a lot of people who tell you all sorts of things. They'll make up everything they want. They can babble all day long, but they don't know. And because of that also, I can't control the future. If I can't tell you what's going to happen, I can't control it. Again, in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and in verse 11, he says, I saw again under the sun that the race is not to the swift, and the battle is not to the warriors, neither the bread to the wise, nor wealth to the discerning, nor favor to men of ability, for time and chance overtakes them all. A lot of times I teach teenage classes, I point out there was, I remember watching an Olympic race. With one woman, she was touted, she was going to be the winner. She had the fastest time in the trials, and she was absolutely top notch. She tripped on a stone, wrecked her knee, crawled across the finish line. Last place. You just don't know. You can be the absolute best at something, but time and chance may happen because we don't have control. And so our plans don't always work out the way we thought they would. And thus, James tells us in James chapter 4, again, a passage we saw yesterday, but James chapter 4, and we're going to start at verse 13. It says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. When I act like I can control the future, I'm boasting. I should always keep in mind that I do not have control. And I should give God the acknowledgement that He does have control. Given all this, what does it mean then when I say, I'm going to go to college, I'm going to get a degree, or that I'm going to marry somebody? It means that I cannot be certain that any of my plans are going to work out the way I thought they would. Ultimately, we have to realize that God is in control. In Proverbs 19, Proverbs 19 and in verse 21, many plans are in the man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. So what do I do? Do I just throw up my hands and say, I can't make any decisions, so I won't. It's not my control, just forget. No, that's not what God tells us to do. God expects us to make plans. Even though I can't control the future, and I don't know what the future holds, I should have direction for my life. I know which way I should be going. As a child of God, as someone who's trying to serve God, to be devoted to Him, I should know the direction that I want to head. So take a look at Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13 and verse 16. Every prudent man, and prudent, by the way, is an old word that means to foresee. Someone who sees the consequences. Every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool displays folly. A wise man plans the course of his life. He directs his path. Now, yes, it doesn't mean that I can foresee everything and I got everything right. but I know the general direction I'm heading. And you see this in Paul's life. We mentioned this morning that he frequently talked about things that he would like to do that didn't work out. Like in Romans chapter 1 and in verse 13. Romans chapter 1 and in verse 13, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you and have been prevented so far, so that I may obtain some fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. Paul had plans to get to Rome. A lot of his plans kept not working out. Eventually he does get to Rome as a prisoner. I'm sure that wasn't the way he was planning things out. But he had purpose. He knew what he was wanting to accomplish. And take a look at 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16 and in verse 3. When I arrive, whomever you may approve, I will send them with letters to carry your gift to Jerusalem. And if it's fitting for me to go also, they will go with me. But I will come to you after I go through Macedonia, and I'm going to go through Macedonia, and perhaps I will stay with you or even spend the winter, so that you may send me on my way wherever I may go. For I do not wish to see you now just in passing, for I hope to remain with you for some time, if the Lord permits. But I'll remain in Ephesus until Pentecost. Do you see how many perhaps, maybes, I hope, that Paul just said in those few words? He knows that it is God's ultimate choice. He's got his next few months planned out. But he knows that they may not work. This is what I'm attempting to do, but God's going to control the ultimate outcome. He had ideas on what he would like to accomplish. But you also know that he will take things in stride if it doesn't work out that way. We ought to also have the same thing. I should have plans. And not to go and crumble if those plans just don't happen to work the way I thought they would. Now, it also means that God expect me to get prepared in advance. In Proverbs chapter 20, Proverbs 20 and verse 4, the sluggard does not plow after the autumn, so he begs during the harvest and has nothing. Farming is a good example of this, of making plans. After you do the harvest, you're supposed to turn the field over, because that gets the soil ready for next spring. If you don't do that and then try planting a crop next spring, you're not going to get nearly a good crop. When do you get ready for living on your own? For you who are teenagers. I'll give you a hint. If you wait until when the first bill comes, it's too late. When do you start getting ready for the responsibilities of marriage? I got you another hint. If you wait until after you say, I do, you're too late. Take a look at Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30. And in verse 25. The ants are not a strong people, but they prepare their food in the summer. How is it that ants survive? They're little tiny creatures. How do they get along? Well, they constantly make preparations. Even in the summer, when everybody wants to lay back, it's too hot, let's just take it easy, they're still working. So that when it comes winter, they have food stored away. doing things a piece at a time makes a greater impact and less effort. Fortunately, I learned that when I was in college. I watched all my friends cram for the exams, right before the exam. I studied during this semester. I slept before the exam. I did all right. I had a lot easier time through school than they did. I watched them. You know, walking around like zombies on exam week. Prepare in advance, a little bit at a time. And again, ants are also working at times when everybody else wants to take it easy. Keep doing a little bit at a time. A lot of you mentioned the website that La Vista has. It's been up since 2003. It's got a huge amount of, it's got 15,000 pages on that crazy website. I didn't write them yesterday. There's a page a day here, a page there. Yeah, it's been up for 23, 24 years, and it kind of accumulates. But it's a little bit at a time. Another thing we need to do is don't make impulsive decisions. Rushed decisions tend to be wrong decisions. Take a look at Proverbs 21 and in verse 5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to an advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. Everybody who makes rash decisions, impulsive decisions, last minute choices, tend to make the wrong choice because they didn't take into account all the factors. Related to that is stay away from get-rich-quick schemes. In Proverbs 28 and in verse 20, a faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who makes haste to be rich will not go unpunished. I had a young man stay with us for a while in the area. He wanted to get his life back straightened out. And he was after one get-rich-quick scheme after another. And I tried to talk him out of it. And he goes, oh, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to make a lot of money, and then I cannot have to work anymore. And that one didn't pan out, so he's going to try something else. And that one didn't pan out. There was one month that one of the brethren who owned a small business, they needed a bunch of shelving torn down. Take a month to tear it down. Hired him and another young man. Tear down the shelving. Not fun work. Not great pay, but it was, you know, decent pay, but a little bit above minimum wage. Worked that for a whole month. He got this paycheck at the end of the month, and he said, that's the most I've ever made in my life. And I think, yes, he'll finally get the answer. No. He never got back to a steady job again. He was always chasing after, and yeah, he's living paycheck to paycheck, and I'm sure he's still doing that. You got to put effort in. And slow and steady is actually better than quick. Along with this, we got to prepare for adversity. Things go well, but hey, this is life. And things go bad. It's not all bad, it's not all good. And so, I need to prepare for the fact that, well, things sometimes go bad. So in Proverbs chapter 6, again to the ant. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest? How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Your poverty will come in like a vagabond, and your need like an armed man. It's so easy. I'm just going to take a little break. But it accumulates just like the ants accumulating food. I put off a little bit of this, I put off a little bit of that. And the next thing I know, I got a disaster on my hands. Where did that come from? The truth is, you were saving up for it. Take care of problems as they arise. Don't also exhaust all your options. In Proverbs chapter 21, and in verse 20, there is precious treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man swallows it up. Don't use all your resources. You know there's going to be a disaster somewhere coming down the line. Have some reserves, just in case. Need some padding. And also, don't let one thing be critical. Take a look at Ecclesiastes 11. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 6. Sow your seed in the morning, and do not be idle in the evening. For you do not know whether morning or evening sowing will succeed, or whether both of them alike will be good. Don't be dependent on one job. I usually tell young people, get a job that you want to work at, and then have a good hobby. You know, something that just brings in a little bit of money. Because you never know, that hobby might end up being really good and bring in lots of money. Or your steady job might disappear. Then I got my hobby, the police carry me over until I get another steady job. Don't put all your eggs in one basket, is basically what he's saying. Now, I hear people say, I'm going to do X, and if that pans out, then I'm set for life. Well, that's nice. But what are you going to do if it doesn't pan out? Pay attention also to where you're going. Things that are unwatched tend to disappear or go bad. In Proverbs 27 and in verse 23, know well the condition of your flocks. Pay attention to your herds. For riches are not forever, nor does the crown endure to all generations. When the grass disappears, the new growth is seen. And the herbs of the mountains are gathered in. The lambs will be for your clothing, and the goats will bring the price of the field. There will be goat's milk enough for your food, and for the food of your household, and the substance of your maidens. Keep track of what you have. Do budgets. Balance your checkbook. Keep an eye on that account. Because anything that you don't keep an eye on disappears. There's a lot of people that, you know, they get a bonus from the boss. And they're ready to go buy something extra with it. And they go, what happened to that money? It was just there. And yeah, if you look at the bank account, you can see where it went. But it feels like it just disappeared. And we also need to try avoiding evil when we can. In 27 verse 12, a prudent man sees evil and hides himself. If you see something's going the wrong direction, stop going that way. Seems easy. I have a poem. I didn't put it in this lesson, but I love it. It basically starts out by saying, I was walking down the sidewalk and there was a hole in the sidewalk and I fell in. And it goes on for the next day. Walks down the sidewalk, there sees the hole, and I know it's there. I know there was a hole there, and I fall in again. Next day, I see that hole in the sidewalk. And again, there's excuses, but they end up back in the hole. Eventually, by the time you get about 6 days into it, he says, I walked down the street and I took a different one. That's really the answer. Don't. If you know something's a problem, don't go there. And be willing to change. Don't be locked in the direction that you're going. Take a look at Proverbs 13 and verse 18. Poverty and shame will come to him who neglects discipline, but he who regards reproof will be honored. Desire realized is sweet to the soul, but it's an abomination to fools to turn away from evil. Point out to a lot of young people, when you start working someplace, how many of you are going to be experts? Never make a mistake? The answer is none. So guess what? If you're not going to be an expert, you're not going to make, and you are going to make some mistakes, you're going to be corrected. Learn from it. Expect it and learn from it. Because none of us are perfect. In other words, you make the best decisions you can, knowing that at times you're going to make mistakes because you don't know everything, knowing that at times I'll have to change course because this course just isn't working. What it comes down to is I need to trust God. Always, the overall guide of my life is the Lord. In Matthew chapter 6, in verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I need to be prepared for that trouble, but I don't have to worry about it. Right now I got enough on my plate for today. Too many know what they ought to do, but they still go their own way. That passage we had in Proverbs read for us earlier, Proverbs chapter 3, and in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And even in adversity, God can make things work out in the long run. He talks about this in Romans chapter 8 and in verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And he's not talking about the nice things in life. Later on, he's talking about famine and persecutions and battles. Overall, for his people, things will work out for the best. Doesn't mean that I might not have some hard times. More likely, I will have hard times. Because hard times make me grow. Uncertainty in life exists. It will always exist. No plan is going to protect you from uncertainty. So you always plan with one certainty that's in the universe: God and his promises. In Isaiah 14, Isaiah 14 and verse 26. This is the plan devised against the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out against all the nations. For the Lord of hosts has planned, and who can frustrate it? And as for his stretched out hand, who can turn it back? When God decides that something's going to happen, it's going to happen. So where does God's plans fall in your life? Jesus told a story in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse 16. He told them a parable, saying,
"The land of a rich man was very productive.
And he began reasoning to himself and saying,
'What shall I do,
since I have no place to store my crops?' Then he said, 'This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grains and my goods, and I will say to my soul, "Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry."' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? Have you thought about the future? Where are your hopes? Where are your dreams? What plans have you laid for eternity? You don't want to be like the foolish rich man. Life is going to not go well. And that's fine. Because I'm looking for a life of eternity that will be wonderful. It won't have the problems. There are no tears in it. Plan for that. There's an opportunity this day. If there's anyone who wishes to become a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. For those who are children of God, would like the prayers of your brother. Again, there's an opportunity. Why don't you come forward and stand and sing the song of the Bible?